Proto, how are you?
Guys, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
We're good. Well, I know you and Struds are going to get into a battle here in regards to the Jeff Skinner.
Well,
hit,
don't get him. Don't get his hair back up. I'll get him all fired up before I even ask the question. So, well, he brought it up. I want to talk. You know, on Twitter, you're talking a little bit about the Niskanen hit on Skinner. And is it the problem? Do you not like his comments, or do you have a problem with his hit Niskanen's on Skinner?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. I mean, I understand. I do understand to a degree where he was coming from, but you know, I do think. Guys, when you say things like, you know, his elbow or his face hit me right in the elbow, to me that kind of sounds like victim blaming, and you know, I think when you're talking now with a guy who's on his third concussion, young star, talent is harder than ever to find in this game. We're talking expansion and the further, you know, dilution of the talent base. I just don't know. I mean, it feels like you know, that recklessness is still allowed a little too much for me, and I think that. You know, asking players to be a little bit more responsible with their bodies, just like we have with their sticks in the past, isn't a lot to ask.
Yeah, so I see a little differently. I see a player here trying to confront Skinner. I've watched it many times, and I don't think you can blame Niskanen for hitting Skinner. I mean, Skinner has his issues, and if there was issues, we'll continue to play, and he has to make a decision about his career going forward. But I look at this; he's trying to. I've seen it many times before, just trying to put a forearm shiver onto the guy and kind of take his body position and push him out of that area. And I don't have any problem with the hit by Niskanen at all. He did turn into him. You know, these things happen in the course of the game. And, you know, at what point do we just suggest maybe, you know, we have to almost take out all hitting? Because it's becoming a little bit too safe and cautious, and we're worrying too much about the players.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on the situation that we're talking about, right? I mean, there was something the other night, I'm trying to remember the play off the top of my head, but there was another thing where, you know, we were talking about it at the Hockey News, and I looked at a smaller player that was I think it was the Canadiens kid Jared Tenorti hit. You know, he was tall. The other player was a lot smaller. You know, those type of plays, those type of things I understand, and I certainly wouldn't, you know, suggest that we outlaw hitting at all. But you know, it's that fine line, right? When you don't make the punishments tough enough, and you don't give players a little more pause to think, and I know that's you know what players hate to hear, but I think on some level you have to demand a little bit more, because you know what are we losing, guys? When we lose Jeff Skinner, you're losing a talent that, you know, is it all his fault that he's had these type of injuries? He's 22 years old and he's on his third major head injury, and again, I accept personal responsibility for a lot of things that go on out there. There's nothing wrong with asking the players to be smarter about the positions that they put themselves in on the ice. But, you know, I think for every, you know, play that you can debate like this one, there's, you know, kind of like a Patrick Coletta that's, you know, that gets kind of let back into the league, or guys that, you know, that are sneaky dirty out there that, you know, that you just keep seeing allowed back into the game or signed to their eighth or ninth contracts. And you know, that's what I'm focused on. It's just the overall issue. And again, that language, when you use things like, and maybe there are just better ways to explain it, but, you know, to say things like his face hit me right in the elbow, it's, you know, to me that really wouldn't work in other circumstances outside of hockey. And I just don't think we should, you know, be bending over backwards to kind of let that play stay in hockey if it means that we lose guys like Jeff Skinner in the long run.
Adam Proto from the Hockey News joins the Carolina Hurricanes. Skinner now out indefinitely. Who knows how long he's had concussion problems before. Jordan Staal, of course, is out until January. The Hurricanes, bad news for them on the ice. Could be good news for them in management. It likely is going to increase their chances to finish closer in the McDavid sweepstakes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, guys. And you know what? I think even before these injuries happened, I mean, did anybody think that the Hurricanes were going to make the playoffs? I certainly don't.
Oh, God, no.
And you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, they've had, you know, some bad luck with their health, but this is a team also that, you know, ask anybody around the league, you know, which team has the softest defense in hockey? It's been the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, at least in the conversation year in and year out. And that was something that Jim Rutherford never really addressed. You know, despite having the strength up front, despite having Cam Ward in his glory years, you know, and now trying to find that way back for himself. He couldn't unload him in the summer, or, you know, didn't want to accept whatever cost, you know, that would be associated with unloading him in a deal, whether that meant a first round draft pick or something else. You know, I think they, you know, they're still at a bit of a crossroads with that player. And so it's a real mixed bag there. And then to have this stuff happen on top, I think, is just, as you say, a curse, you know, at least to get through this season at a time when they're having some trouble selling tickets down there. But in the long run, probably a blessing because, you know, if you're not getting McDavid, then you could be getting Jack Eichel, who, you know, I think, you know, especially from an American perspective, might be a better solution for them marketing wise. So, you know, it's they seem to be fortunate as a franchise wherein, you know, if they're not contending and doing well, you know, they're at the bottom and they're collecting a lot of good players. So, you know, goodness knows where they'll be at this time. 3 months from now, they could be out of the playoffs really, really quick. But in the long term, that's probably not a bad thing to have that happen this year.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree with you there, Adam. They're going to be easily in early running for McDavid and Eichel. On the other side, the Buffalo Sabres, are they as bad as we thought they might have been, let's say, 2-3 months ago?
You know, that's a really good question. I think for me, I still feel like you look at the teams in their division, you know, Florida's gotten better, Jason, and you know, the Leafs I don't think are that bad a team. Montreal, we know, is going to have high expectations. Tampa Bay, I think, is going to challenge Boston, especially now that their defense is depleted for the best team in that division. So, you know, I just don't know what team they're better than. They may not be pushovers every night. It may not be laughable as it was, you know, a lot last year. You know, I think certainly having some really classy people like Josh Gorges and Gionta in the dressing room are going to help. Matt Molson, you know, is another character guy that's going to make sure that, you know, they don't just kind of walk out and go through the motions, you know, and help some of their younger players to develop. So, you know, I don't think it'll be as ugly as it would have been, you know, even a year ago, but I do think they're going to have a tough time beating the teams above them that just have more depth. And more, you know, more overall talent right now, NHL caliber talent than the Sabres do.
Montreal, most people think is a playoff team. Ottawa, Toronto, either one of them get in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there's a shot, probably more so from my perspective for the Leafs than the Senators. I think, again, we kind of forget because of the way they've collapsed the last couple of years, guys, that this team can play a pretty good high-tempo game. I think, you know, what wound up happening was that Randy Carlyle forgot that he had to lean on his fourth line, that he needed a fourth line, and that it couldn't just be, you know, the enforcer types of Colton Ors and Fraser McLaren's. You know, so I think they wound up kind of leaning on their horses a bit too much early. They fell apart late, and if you look at what they've done in this offseason, it's been, you know, all about shoring up those, you know, that last defensive pair in the third and fourth line. I think they've done a really good job, to be honest. I mean, David Bowen, they kind of brought him back and made the fans happy at five plus, you know, a season, but they took that money and they spread it out amongst five guys that, you know, hungry guys, Dan Winnick, Mike Santorelli. I mean, those type of players, you know, even Leo Komarov, who's, you know, a bit of a dick, you know, he's somebody that's going to give them a little bit more bite and allow them not to, you know, to have to work Phil Kessel so hard or you know, or Nazem Kadri. You know, these guys are still young players that aren't at their peak either. And so to kind of surround them with better depth on the blue line too, with Roman Polak, I think will be an additional blow anybody's doors off. But they're, you know, they've already got some internal improvement with Stu Percy. I know management really, really thinks highly of him and he's impressed a lot of people. So, you know, I'm not as high on the Senators just because I think their defense is you know, a little herky-jerky. And obviously with no Spezza, they're going to have, you know, to produce more by committee up front. So I do think if either of those two teams have a shot, it'll be the Leafs.
Adam, we, just like all areas that have NHL teams, we analyze the hell out of our own group, and then we're talking to Edmonton Oilers here in the city. From an outsider's perspective, what do you see for the Oilers this year?
You know, I think they are going to contend for one of those lower seeds, Jason, but I thought that last year too. So, you know, I think I'm probably in the same position as everybody there, which is, you know, just show us some guts or some spine that you know, you're going to put up a fight, you know, at the start of the season. You're not going to bury yourself early. You're not going to, you know, have people just pulling out their hair. I think that's any type of semblance of progress would be a good enough step for me this year. And if they don't wind up making it and finish in ninth and 10th, that's, you know, people are going to hate that, no doubt about it. And, you know, some people might pay with their jobs for it, but, you know, I don't know what the other alternative is, right? It's not like you can go out and make a quick fix. If you want to try, you know, gambling with some of those first round picks that you've assembled over the years, then, you know, I think that's okay too. But, you know, I think you just can't throw up your hands and stand at your feet. You have to recognize that you've still got a process to undergo. And again, back to my point about trading some of those first round picks, I still, one of the pieces that I did for the Hockey News probably a couple years ago now was on, you know, the fact that there are teams that eventually have to part with the players that it, you know, had so much promise for them at one time. And I look back at that Quebec Nordiques team, right before they left for Colorado, and they traded all their number one picks, you know, in a matter of a couple years, right? Matt Sundin, Owen Nolan, and of course Eric Lindros, and so, you know, they were able to parlay some of that promise, you know, that might have been so tough to part with at the time, you know, into something, you know, that helped them. And it wasn't always a superstar that they got back, right? I mean, Owen Nolan begat Claude Lemieux, you know, who was an integral part of that team. Sandis Ogerlund was part of one of those trades, you know, as well. So I think they're, you know, they got parts of the puzzle there that weren't necessarily all-stars, but that were key components. And so that's what I would look at for the Oilers beyond this year. If it doesn't work out again, you know, what is management going to do to break up, you know, their top-end players? Who are they going to gamble on keeping? And who are they going to really try and parlay into giving that team a different look? I think that's the only question I have from this point on is, how much longer are you going to stick with that core?
And lastly, today the NHL approved the rule change for the hash marks. They'll go from 3 feet to 5 feet. Did you even notice the difference in preseason?
I didn't, to be honest. Yeah. And you know what? I haven't had a chance to see a lot of preseason hockey this year, guys. Just I was out in Florida a couple weeks ago to work with Roberto Luongo, who's our special guest editor-in-chief for this issue. We actually just sent out the cover on Twitter today. It was a pretty fun experience. So, you know, I got to be in Miami and not watch a lot of preseason hockey. I thought I've been doing something right lately.
Yeah, that's kind of a win-win. But I'm just telling you, it's funny because it was probably the least talked about rule change in the history of the NHL.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I mean, I don't know that there are probably too many people that I even heard saw on social media mention it. So it's one of those things that, you know, that the league probably realizes it can cheat on and get away with. You know, much like even when they used to do the research and development camp, guys, they have the goal verification line. That, you know, that's to me still seems like a good idea. I don't really know why it went away.
I agree.
But, you know, and to me that was, again, something not really perceptible to people. If they walked into the arena, they wouldn't notice it really at all. So I'd like to see that kind of revisited too.
I agree. Adam, appreciate your time.
Pleasure's mine, guys. Thanks for having me.
Adam Proto from the Hawks.